Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Well, I'm going to try something this morning I haven't tried for a while, and that is to sing a song. Well, that's okay. Do it beforehand, because afterwards you may not feel that way. This song, I've done this song a few times over the last years, and the reason why I keep coming back to it is because it is my testimony. And this year, I think some of you can probably empathize. This has been a tough year. I mean, we'll acknowledge that. It's been a tough year. Difficult. A lot of difficult decisions that have had to be made. Difficult watching people suffer and struggle. Difficult losing people. We've lost some friends that have been very impactful for Sharon and I in the last few weeks. My mom's husband passing away. Never really felt like he was a relative of sorts, but a good friend, very good friend. My practice is about every other Friday I go to have lunch or breakfast or whatever with my mom, and when he was alive, he was part of that, and we had a number of conversations and things and grew closer over the last couple of years as I've been doing that. And I live with the hole in my heart of those who have left us from this church family. I don't say goodbye easy to those that we care about. Amen? I think it's time sometimes we acknowledge these, you know, kind of aches down inside. Praise God when they're in heaven. We know that they're in heaven. We're thankful for that. And one day we're going to see them. And all of those things are marvelously true. I'm looking forward to the resurrection of the dead and looking forward to being in heaven and seeing so many different people. But while I'm still here on earth and they're in heaven, I miss them. That's just part of my reality. So this song kind of talks about that in a bit, but also speaks to my intent. So we'll give it a try. Timmy, come on. Darkness around me, sorrow surround me, though there be trials, still I can sing, for I have this treasure, my God reigns within me. And I am determined to live for my King. I am determined to be invincible
Till he has finished his perfect work in me. And nothing shall shake me, for he'll never forsake me. And I am determined to live for my King.
If that's you this morning, you can stand along with me and agree. Listen to this one.
Hell's gates are trembling from saints' prayers ascending. Darkness is crumbling from those praises we sing. Our sovereign, victorious, he is marching before us, and we are determined to live for our King. Yes, I am determined to be invincible till he has finished his perfect work in me.
Nothing
shall shake me, for he'll never forsake me, and I am determined to live for my King.
Listen.
So when I am weary, I'll look to his face. And when I am tempted, I'll trust in his grace.
Come on. Praise you, Jesus.
I am determined to be invincible till he has finished his purpose in me. And nothing shall shake me, for he'll never forsake me. Oh, I am determined. Yes, I am determined. Oh, I am determined to live for my King.
Praise you, Jesus. You see what I mean? It's a testimony. Yeah. Grab a hold of it. Maybe you don't remember all the words, but remember that. I'm determined to be invincible till he has finished his purpose in me. Hallelujah. This morning we continue our study in God's Word about stewardship. I can't get away from a certain scripture that I want to share with you, and it has a relationship to what we're preaching this morning. But listen, if you would, found in Mark's Gospel, the 13th chapter. It is not my text, so you can just listen. About the day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on your guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come.
It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the roosters crow or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Father, I thank you this morning for the seeds that you have planted in my heart for this message this morning. I pray that as your Spirit waters those seeds in each and every life, that there would be an impact, there would be fruit that would be produced. We are all dependent upon you for clarity and understanding. May your truth find a resting place in the soil of our hearts today, in Jesus' name. Stewardship begins with the knowledge that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. You know, church, if there was one piece of this 5 or 6 part series that I am doing, if there was one piece of that that I would pray that you would hold on to and embrace and chew on and live on, it is that beginning point where we started this journey. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and all who live in it. The land is his, the people are his, the wealth is his, time belongs to the Lord, every bit of it belongs to him. We are stewards of his possession. Managers of the things that he has entrusted to our care. My goodness, how we forget this. How we start living our own lives, possessing the stuff that the Lord has brought into our lives as though we originated it, as though it was ours. We debate in our minds of whether or not we will release some of it to him or to others. That conflict should not exist, church. Because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and all who live in it. We belong to him. 1 Corinthians 4:1, so men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Those of you and I who are believers, we have been entrusted with the mystery of the ages. We have been entrusted with the truth of the ages. God, help us that we would just set on it. We learned in the third session about the types of steward: hoarders, consumers, investors. And then the last message on this a couple of weeks ago was about the effect of sowing and reaping. It is a natural, physical, spiritual law that we reap from what we have sown. It's amazing. Sometimes we refuse to sow into an area in our life, but we want to reap from that area. Just the natural law of sowing and reaping tells us that won't happen. Lord, I want you to bless my finances. But I'm sorry, I can't give you anything. I'm reluctant to mention money because everybody tightens up. But money is a part of it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. You say, well, I work hard. Sure you do. But who gave you the job? Come on. This morning I want to talk to you for just a couple of moments about the choices that we make in stewardship. I love the Word of God. You've probably come to that understanding now if you've been around me for a little while. I love God's Word. I love the simplicity of it, and I love the complexity of it. So there is a surface place of extreme simplicity that we have in the Word. But then if you want to, you can go to its depths. And you can never reach the ultimate. Because there's more, there's more, there's more. But I would take you to the simplicity of it this morning. Over in Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse number 27. I'll read from that in just a moment. Josh Billings wrote, "Don't borrow or lend, but if you must do one, lend." Will Rogers said, "No debt ever comes due at a good time, yet borrowing is the only thing that's handy all the time. Don't borrow trouble, borrow money, and trouble will come of its own accord." Some famous people, Herbert Hoover, Thomas Jefferson, Daniel Webster, and Andrew Jackson, they all wrote about this thing of borrowing and lending. Herbert Hoover wrote, "Let me remind you that credit is the lifeblood of business, the lifeblood of prices and jobs." Thomas Jefferson wrote, "The maxim of buying nothing without money in our pocket to pay for it would make of our country one of the happiest on earth. I look forward to the abolition of all credit as the only other remedy which can take place." Daniel Webster wrote, "Credit is the vital air of the system of modern commerce. It has done more to enrich nations than all the mines in the world." But Andrew Jackson wrote, "Live within your means, never be in debt, and by husbanding your money, you can always lay it out well." So there's a contrast. There's a contrast of thought. There's a contrast even of wisdom concerning borrowing and not borrowing. There's a biblical view. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 4 says, "There should be no poor among you. For in the land the Lord is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. If only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commands I'm giving you today, for the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations but borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you." Speaking of who can dwell in the sanctuary in the Old Testament, Psalm 15:5, he says, "He who lends his money without usury, he who does these things will never be shaken." Psalm 37:21, "The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously." Verse 25, "I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed." Proverbs 22:7, "The rich rule over the poor and the borrower is the servant to the lender. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor." Verse 16, "He who oppresses the poor to increase his wealth, and he who gives gifts to the rich, both come to poverty." Proverbs 19:17, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done." Can you hear the contrast? What will it be? Steward, a borrower, or a lender? A borrower or a lender? In Luke chapter 6, he says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you." And by the way, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies and do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. As stewards, realizing that everything that we have comes from the Lord, the scripture is commanding us to be lenders. Lenders without expectation of return. I'm telling you, folks, this thing of being a Christian is strange. I mean, it's just really out there. I mean, it's one thing, you know, for the Lord to say, be a lender and charge a decent rate of interest. But He's saying to those who belong to Him, you lend, all right, be a lender, but don't expect anything in return. It's a different way of living. It's a different understanding. What are you saying to us? If you have the means to be able to lend it to the person, then give it to them and expect nothing in return. Do it in the name of the Lord and be part of His blessing in their lives. This is out there, isn't it? So, whew, point number one, my goodness, it's really out there. You know, from time to time over the last many years that I've been doing this work, people come and say, Pastor Ken, could the church loan me some money? I need some money because XYZ is happening in my life. No. But if we have it, we'll give it. Because this is a very real lesson for God's people. Don't expect unbelievers to understand this. Why do we understand it? It is because our God mercifully gives to us. Mercifully showers blessings upon our lives. So, well, I don't know, you know, Pastor, I'm not as rich as some people. I don't have as much. Are you saved? While you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. Salvation was put there before you as a free gift. He didn't say, okay, now what I want you to do is to line up all your A's and B's and your P's and Q's and get it all in order first, and then I will accept you. As a matter of fact, He said just the opposite. He said, you can't work for this. You can't repay what I'm giving to you. That's why this says here, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. It is a mindset, it's a style, it is something that is inside of us that is not stingy. Now, you know, I don't need to talk to you about the borrowing part because we all have that down, right? How many know about borrowing? Come on, be honest. You might as well. The Lord's watching. Yeah. We see something that we want. We cannot pay for it in the immediate. So we ask them, well, what would the monthly payment be? I want that so bad that I will stake my future on it. I will stake the possibility that I am going to be healthy enough to continue working long enough to pay you back for that. You know, I hear Christians, I don't bet. I don't wager. Sure you do. You ever bought a car? When you sit down there with the guy and they pushes the papers, that big old stack of papers in front of you and said, you know, just sign everywhere, I got an X. You know, and you're sitting there signing your life away. Huh? Saying to yourself, oh, I'm going to live long enough to pay for this. You know, they just, they're having trouble selling the cars at the rate that they're at, you know, so now they've gone to 84 months. Does anybody realize how long that is? 84 months to pay for an automobile. So you're placing a bet. Signing on the line. For the next 7 years, I'm going to be healthy enough to work. The economy is going to be good enough. Everything is going to fall in line and be perfect because I want this vehicle. And you're willing to give it to me if I'll pay you for the next 7 years. We'll sign 30-year mortgages on houses. Well, you know, they even give us plastic little things to put in our pocket that we can pull out anywhere. I'm sure you've heard this before, but, you know, our kids were guilty of it. You know, we would say, they'd say, can we get such and such? And no, we don't have the money. Well, just write a check. Because in their little minds, it wanted something, you just wrote a check for it. Somewhere along the line, you know, we crossed over that bridge that said, there's got to be money in the bank if you're going to write the check for it. But isn't it interesting, though, when they give us one of those credit cards? Huh? That we forget that simple lesson that we teach our kids. Because once again, I don't have my wallet on. I was going to pull out a credit card. Gene, give me one of your 20. Oh, you know what I'm talking about, folks? See, we understand this whole concept of borrowing. The Lord says his people should be more on the side of lending and lending without an expectation of repayment. We've become so good at the borrowing part, so accustomed to it, that we're not so good on the lending side. Because we'll even make the statement, well, nobody gives me anything. God does. And what if, here's just a possibility, but what if the resources that he has put into our hands, he put them into our hands so that we could be the one who would bless and help somebody else who was in need. We read in the book of Acts of how the church, no one in the church had need in the book of Acts. And we go, ooh, that would have been something. You know why? Because those people were truly filled with the Holy Spirit. They were truly walking in community as God had appointed. They were truly acting as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and modeling after the way God has done, being merciful to those who had need. As a matter of fact, Ananias and Sapphira, they tried to load the deck. And they both got carried out of church. You know what? We need to take this a little more seriously because you see, the stuff that we have in our hands is God's. That house that you live in is his. That automobile that you drive is his. The breath that you and I breathe is his. Go back to the beginning, and God breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. I'm telling you, it starts and ends there. But we need to recognize that when he puts things into our hands, they're not just for us. We are stewards for a season of what he has put into our hands. So he says, be a lender, not a borrower. Can I just tell you, at a very practical level today, the condition that our world is in? Church, get out of debt. The cost, I'm afraid, is going to be very, very high in the years to come of believers who are overly wagered. Deal with lust. Deal with pride. See, those are the things that push us on out there. Our guest last week, I love Dave and Candy, but after church, we went to get a bite at a Chinese restaurant, and they were showing me the car that they just got. It's a Cadillac XTS. Really nice car. I could see myself in that car. Huh? So I got in my car with 112,000 miles on it and drove off. And it's paid off. Now, I'm not saying to you that I will never get another car that I would owe somebody on, because I'm betting just like you are. But what I am telling you is we need to start making really wise choices as borrowers, because things are going to get very interesting as we approach the coming of the Lord Jesus. And see, it's really easy for us to say to one another, we believe Jesus is coming. Slap one another on the back. I believe he's coming soon. Yes. Amen, brother. But how is it affecting our lives? How is it affecting how we live our lives? As stewards, be lenders without expecting anything in return. And really watch over your borrowing. And let me take you to this last part. In everything I did, Paul says, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself, who said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. There again, we have a very simple choice of being givers or receivers. Receiving from the Lord is simple. Again, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He promises, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. John 16:24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be open. A giver or a receiver? Let me make it a little bit simpler and dirtier. A giver or a taker? This time during COVID has been a revelation, even within the body of Christ. I cannot tell you how many believers that I have heard them express, I'm quite content being at home and watching church. Those of you that are watching online, I'm not trying to be overly critical, but there should be a longing in your heart to be part of the body of Christ. Amen. If all you are doing is taking information, then you are not being part of the body of Christ. You see, this thing is not about this thing of church, of being in the body of Christ is not about the exchange of information. You can arrive at information yourself. And I can guarantee you this. You can watch on television or listen on the radio or on the internet and find better preachers than this one. So if it's just the quality, or if it is just the exchange of information, you can do much better than what you're doing here this morning. I can promise you that. By sitting at home and watching somebody say something. But what you can't do is be part of the body of Christ and be all by yourself. You can gather information. But you see, each one of us have a part in the body of Christ. How many of you brought your right hand with you this morning when you came to church? I couldn't ask that last week. Hey. We've known each other too many years. I can do that. No, you have complete expectation and rightful expectation that when you left home today, both of your arms, both of your legs, your neck, your shoulders, every single part of you was engaged to come to this place this morning. If one part of you was left off, you would say, there's a problem. Church, pray for me. I left home today and my left leg stayed home and was content to stay home. See, well, we can worship without left legs. Can we? Right up until you say, stand to your feet. See, we're not looking at this right. We're given a ton of information here. He's mapped it out for us. We are the body of Christ, suspended from the Master, who is the head over all things concerning the church. Paul writes it out in great detail to the Corinthian church of how intertwined we are and how the hand cannot say to the other hand, I have no need of you. The lesser parts cannot say to the greater parts, I have no need of you. We can't, because we are all important in the body of Christ. But here's the problem. We have ordered this thing to where we do not see the necessity of our parts. I learned this a long time ago when someone was charged to teach our precious little ones and they call on Sunday morning, an hour before the Sunday school of the church is supposed to start, and they say, I won't be there this morning. We decide we're going to go out of town. We decided that we're going to go to Aunt Susie's house. Sorry, I'll be there the next time my time rolls around. You begin to understand, this is not a priority. See, again, I guarantee you that your limbs are a priority. And if one of them doesn't cooperate, you're to the doctor, you're to the hospital, you're to the emergency room because something's wrong with your body. Church, I'm telling you this morning, we're either givers or we're takers. There's no other option. If you struggle in giving of your time and your talents and your ability and the things that God has blessed you with, you just might be a taker. If all you know how to do within the body of Christ is look for other people to encourage and strengthen and help you, you're a taker. And we are stewards. We are stewards of the time that our God has given us. We're stewards of the monies that God has given to us. We're stewards of the breath that God has given to us. Freely you have received. Freely, what? What? Come on, what? Freely you have received, freely give. I wish I could say to you this morning that it is a characteristic of the body of Christ to be givers. But in today's realm, there are more takers within the church building. And of those who call themselves believers, then there are givers. What are you going to do for me? Is it going to be exciting? Is it going to be fun? I'm going to be very honest with you right now. I've heard that one until I'm over with it. Show me in the Word of God where it says the body of Christ coming together should be fun every time that they do it. You know what that is? That's taker mentality. That is saying, I want the church to compete with the world. We can't compete with the world. You can sit and watch 3 or 4 hours of television at night, and then you come here Sunday morning. We're not as talented as what those people are who are paid millions of dollars to entertain you. But you see, that's not our job. That's not our focus. Ours is to give of what the Lord has given to us. And we all, each and every one of us, giving of our talents and of our abilities, feeble as they may be, but giving them as unto the Lord. And then collectively watching as we experience the blessings of God. You want to know the fun part of being a Christian? Is serving. That's the fun part. Why? Because you will get to see things that you could never see in all the rest of your life. You will see God use you. You will see God do the miraculous. You will see God open up heaven and pour out blessings that you never imagined or could never receive in any other way but by serving. If we really understood this, church, if we really understood it, there wouldn't be enough jobs in the church. Everybody would be fighting over the opportunity to minister. And can I tell you, it's not that way? Huh? We're one less board member this year. You know why? Nobody wanted to serve. That's humiliating. I'm sorry. But it is. It's humiliating to this church family that no one's willing to take one Tuesday night out of the month to sit at a table with other brothers and sisters and talk about the finances and the administration of the church. An hour and a half, maybe 2 hours most. One Tuesday night a month. Couldn't find a giver. So it's left empty. You can say I'm too critical, but see, we might as well deal in truth. Amen. A man once came to Peter Marshall, former chaplain of the United States Senate, with a concern about tithing. He said, I have a problem, he said. I've been tithing for some time. It wasn't too bad when I was making $20,000 a year. I could afford to give up $2,000. But now I'm making $500,000, and there's no way I can afford to give away $50,000 a year. Peter Marshall reflected on this wealthy man's dilemma, but gave no advice. He simply said, "Sir, I see you have a problem, and I think we ought to pray about it. Is that all right?" The man agreed. So Dr. Marshall bowed his head and prayed, "Dear Lord, this man has a problem, and I pray that you will help him. Please reduce his salary back to the place where he can afford to tithe." I don't have time. Lord, empty out some lives so that they have time to serve you. It's a valid prayer. Lord, I'm too busy. Put an end to some of the things in their lives so that they have some time to serve you. Something's wrong, church. Something's wrong in the body of Christ. If we really understand stewardship, that everything that we have, our time, our breath, our energy, our talents, everything that we have has come from the Lord, and we are stewards for a short season. What are we doing? I can stand here and tell you, not critically, but tell you the blessings of the Lord. The reality of what we are doing as believers is bound up in our serving Him. Letting Him have use of the things that He's given us. Father, I thank you this morning for this time. An hour and 15 minutes. Wow. Lord, we will waste an hour and 15 minutes throughout this week in a number of ways. But I thank you for this hour and 15 minutes that we have had to be together here in this house, to lift our voices in praise to you, to use some of that precious breath that you have given to us to be able to honor and glorify you together. It's hard to harmonize with yourself. Thank you, God. Thank you that there's enough of us here that we can have harmonies that lift before your throne. Thank you that we can address praying one for another because there's more than just me here. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace. You have given to us without holding back. Help us, O Lord, who proclaim ourselves to be Christians, Christ-like, to exemplify the same stewardship that you show to us. You are a God of love, and you love us without measure. You are a God of mercy, and you extend mercy to us without measure. You are a God of grace, and you extend grace to us in all of our failings, in all that we do wrong. God, you're so merciful and graceful. Help us to learn from you the realities of what it is to be a steward. Challenge us, O Lord. I pray, God, that nothing that I said this morning will come as judgment, because it is not mine to judge. It only belongs to you. I am simply an observer and part of the body. And I thank you this morning for the privilege. Thank you for allowing me, Lord, to, feeble as it may be, to lift my voice in singing to you. Thank you for allowing me to share your word to your people. Challenge us this morning, Master. Challenge us to be good stewards. of every good and perfect gift that you have given to us. I think of those words, whoever penned them, only one life will soon be passed. Only what done for God will last. We can all see on the horizon the clouds are gathering, you're coming soon. Whether suddenly by some illness that surprises us or whether it's your coming, we're going to stand before you soon and give an account for our lives. We will give an account as stewards. May we be found faithful. May we be found faithful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you stand with me, please, as we close the service? I do want to extend to you an invitation to these altars this morning. If you could spare a few moments and the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart, I invite you to come. Take a little time with the Lord. This part is not about me. This is about you and the Lord. But I just want to open these altars up. There's plenty of space. You don't have to be crowded. Come. Find yourself a place and reaffirm commitments. Reaffirm your position, your place in the Lord. Can I tell you this morning, it's so good to see you. Huh? Go ahead, look around. Look around. Doesn't it look good? It's looking better all the time. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for being with us. I've felt your presence here this morning. I appreciate the truth of your word. Bless us now as we leave this house. Bless those who may come to this altar. May you be honored and glorified through our lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you and thank you for being with us.
Jesus paid it all. Jesus.